Hello and welcome to All About Eastbourne at eastbourne.online. My name's Chris Dabbs and I have with me a very special guest, Ray Dadswell from, well, all sorts of charities really. Ray, you are one of the busiest people I've ever known, and so thank you very much for coming in. And I'll tell you what, why don't you introduce yourself, tell us who you are and basically what you do.
Certainly, thank you for the invitation. Dadswell is an unusual name for people outside the county.
Sure.
But there are a lot of us here. I was born in the centre of the universe, namely Upper Dicker, just north of Hailsham. And my father, grandfather, and several generations before were all in farming. And so I maintain that I have farming in my blood, but not in my fingers.
God forbid
that I should ever have to do that. Love the country, mind you.
Uh-huh.
And so it's great to go back into that area. I mean, it's not far away from Eastbourne, of course, and to drive up to the village and then to come down the other side, but just to enjoy the scenery. And there are several working farms there still, although my father's farm no longer is just a residence.
Oh, okay.
And one of these days, perhaps I'll go and ask to explore the house where I spent my first 4 years only, but it was an interesting start.
Yes, absolutely. And what sort of farm was it then, as a matter of interest, out there?
From what I remember, my father had something like 20 cows, a good few hens and ducks as well,
right,
on the pond in front of the farm. I'll take you there sometimes, have a look at it.
Sounds idyllic.
And yes, and he always said to me that he had, or later years of course, that he had too much work for one man, but not enough for two. So he was milking the cows by hand every day. And one of my long-lasting memories, even in tender years, was going into the cow stall and Dad squirting milk at me. Do you get the picture?
Yes.
I'm sure you do. But farming, yes, I'm quite happy, quite relaxed on a farm. I've no fear of animals, of course. We had dogs, and photographs at home of me and my pram, fair distance away from the house, but the old sheepdog, Toby, was there not far away in case anybody came.
Uh-huh.
Unlikely, apart from the postman.
Yes, quite.
But there we are. So those were my first years. After that, we moved to the north of England because my mother was from the Manchester area and she was one of 10 children.
Wow.
And so she had to go back, being the youngest, I think, or next to youngest, she had to go back to look after her mother, who was very ill. So this was the late, dare I say it, 1940s.
Right.
And so I went to school up there for a little while. We came back to the south. Dad had sold the farm. We lived in a caravan for quite a few years. And I managed to lose my northern accent quite quickly. And so, yes, I have moved around. And very much a country boy.
Yes.
And very interested also in our genealogy, family background, and, yeah, how I link in with all the other dads well. So mainly in practical areas of work like farming and engineering and car repairs and mechanics and all that sort of thing. It doesn't appeal to me in the least.
Right.
Hence, my following the career that my mother suggested would be the case, I'd be a pen pusher. So to be in an office routine, I'm quite content with that. But as you suggested, currently involved in many other different things. Well, yes, I've been getting involved with things locally, but I ought to backtrack a little bit because following my secondary schooling here in Eastbourne and then away at Theological College for 2 years in Scotland, a year working in a hospital in London, that was during that period that my wife and I met, and we went out to Thailand to work in churches and in teaching English. That was 13 years, during which point my sons were born and we came back to Eastbourne, suntrap of the south, although we'd had quite enough sun out there in Southeast Asia.
I bet.
But we came back to Eastbourne because our boys were growing up and we felt their future was probably in this country rather than in Thailand. And it was at that point that various opportunities came my way. For example, using my Thai language, interpreting for agencies like immigration, police, social services, even going to court sometimes. Interesting, and a little bit more than interesting sometimes, but
we
got by. And then, yes, I decided I would like to be involved in theatres as well. So I thought, okay, teaching English and working in theatres. And so I tried is the operative word, to study a course in theatre.
Right.
But working full time and distance learning just somehow don't go together. Mm. And here in Eastbourne, there was nobody at that time that I could relate to, ask my questions, discuss matters. And so, sadly, I didn't get too far with it. But that gave me an opening. With that out of the way, then I became involved with People Matter. People Matter is an agency. I think it's fairly well known in Eastbourne.
Yes, I think so, yes. Mm.
Seeing 800 clients a year, probably, and helping them with CVs, advice about work, preparing for interviews, training, and all that sort of thing, based in Gildridge Road, not too far from Eastbourne Station.
Just around the corner from here.
Well, absolutely right. 20 years now of experience, and it's grown. The number of volunteers and paid staff, of course, like most charities, that's how it survives. The volunteers who are willing to give a day, half a day, 2 days a week. And has a very good reputation. Can't say that we get everybody into work, but at least we're helping them on the way and rebuilding their self-confidence in many cases. If they've had rough experiences in employment and wanting to do something different, then we're there to help in that way. So how long have I been there now? 14 years, I suppose, since I started with that.
Yes.
But last year it was decided by the hierarchy at the office that I should focus mainly on English language teaching, because we're getting so many overseas people coming in and they're looking for work which will match their qualifications from their own country.
Well, yes.
But their English is not always up to scratch. So that's where I come into my own. And it's just a small part of the work of People Matter. But classes, I have individual one-to-one lessons, helping people prepare for exams, Cambridge University exams, IELTS, which is very popular. IELTS is an Australian exam.
All right.
International English Language Teaching System.
Right.
And universities are very happy with that these days. And so I have to be all things to all men in many ways, and lots of other things perhaps which will come up in due course that I have a part in. And it's great. There's so much out there. I'm very fond of being in Eastbourne. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else, not for any length of time. Yes. London I found difficult, I must say, years ago. But to see all the charity work that I can do, and surviving on my pension. I don't need paid employment anymore, but I recognise that many people do.
Sure.
And if I can help them and support them, well and good.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's fantastic. And it's interesting as well that you're able to help people who are looking for work, especially with the English language, you know, and helping them to find a voice. Because I think that's what it is, isn't it, really?
Mm. Sorry. Quite true. Yeah. Well, that's it. Exactly. Because when they come over here, it's quite a culture shock.
Yes.
That's a subject I'm very interested in. If I were to have my life over again, of course I shan't, but if I were, then I'd probably leave theatre studies out of it, but go for a course in anthropology, because that covers every area of our existence, as far as I can tell.
And that's Desmond Morris, isn't it, who's an anthropologist?
Well, yes, exactly.
Whether
I'd go along with his philosophy entirely, I don't know. Probably not the evolution bit of it, but you never know.
Okay.
You never know. It would be of interest, nevertheless.
That's another programme.
It could be, it could quite be. But I'm finding people coming to me, and they're nervous about their future. Just an example, recently, a young chap, mid-20s, from France. He needed a lot of money quickly. I won't explain why, but all above board. And he thought that coming to our fair town here, that he would get a job quickly, and in 5 months he could go back to his own country and get married.
Right.
Not to be. The work that he was there for, it just didn't happen for him. So I was able to be on hand to encourage him, to help him with CV and ideas for something else he might do. And finally, he decided he would go to London. I've lost contact now, lost touch a little bit. But I'm hoping, nevertheless, that things will turn out well for him. So that's my life, really, just being there for people. English language teaching, of course, But for my classes, it's very much a social gathering. A lot of the folks who do arrive on a Tuesday, Thursday afternoon for an hour's lesson and chat, then they're working, they've got jobs already, but in hotels, cleaning jobs, restaurants, what else? Very menial tasks. And often they have qualifications far higher than I have. I have to confess that I'm still waiting for my 11 plus results.
Not quite true. Postal service,
goodness me. So there we are. But English language teaching, it gives so many opportunities to be involved in people's lives.
Yeah, but that's interesting. I mean, okay, so are you dealing or helping mostly people who are European or outside of Europe?
No, right across the board.
Oh, okay.
So from every continent pretty well.
Right.
And through the language school, I was teaching in a couple of schools locally in Eastbourne for a time. Now it's more independent and with this agency, Eastbourne Cultural Communities Network, working alongside People Matter. I'm throwing all these titles at you, and perhaps there'll be opportunity to explain more in due course. But what was your question again?
Really? are they mostly European people?
Yes. Probably the majority of them are from Eastern Europe, but from other parts, Southern Europe as well, and one or two who've originated in South America, but they've gone to live in Portugal or Spain,
yes,
and so they regard themselves more as European these days. From Asia, yes, a few from time to time, Japanese, Korean, and Thai, and so on. Thai, of course, is great for me because I'm able to relive my dozen or so years in the country.
And talk about all the various places and everything else.
Well, I find, and where we are now,
yes,
there's a Thai restaurant on this floor.
Everybody mentions that when they come in for an interview. Yeah. We still haven't been there. We've only been here a couple of weeks.
Well, one of the staff there, I was teaching him for a time, but he's got so caught up with his business, obviously, that he's not able to, not at this moment anyway, to further his career or his education at Brighton University. But there we are. I found, as we were talking on many occasions, that I knew more about Thai history than he did.
Yes.
Being so much his senior, of course. And only having lived there for a short while, as I say, but nevertheless, that was life, and it was great. I talk about it all the time. It's inevitable, and often in the present tense.
Right.
Because it was a struggle when it came to it to come back. The reason, as I mentioned, was what family needs. But at the same time, I thought, yeah, I still want to be there.
Yes. Yes, yeah, well, exactly. I mean, I think that's one of the things, isn't it? I know that I've heard it through family that, you know, you live in a country and you kind of become embroiled and everything. And even if you are an expat, it's still, you know, you end up adopting that country.
Sure, absolutely.
And even the other way around, of course, you know, people who, you know, it's quite timely at the moment when in the news talking about the Windrush generation.
Oh, yes, yes.
Know, and how they're suffering by not being able to prove their residency for every single year from 1973.
That's only just come into the news, hasn't it?
Yes.
But it's not going to go away very quickly, as it strikes me.
It's shocking. Absolutely shocking. It really is.
Well, sure.
But yes, I think we've seen some backtracking from the Home Office on that one, haven't we?
Well, haven't we indeed? As far as the Thai community is concerned, I'm discovering more and more people in town who come from that background.
Right.
Did you realise there are 8 Thai restaurants in the area?
Really?
And we've just had Thai New Year.
Oh, really?
Indeed. So I made it my business to go along and say Happy New Year and just a card of greeting and so on.
Yes.
And just in simple way like that, it keeps me in touch and still using the language. Okay, not as fluent as it was because I've been away for quite a number of years. But on the other hand, good.
So, okay, excellent. So, People Matter. Let's talk about that
yes,
charity for a moment. It's helping people to gain skills.
Yes.
Yes. I'm guessing. So, tell me exactly what is the the mission statement? What is the raison d'être for People Matter?
Equipping people for work. Quite simple. And so, everything that we do is pointing people in that direction. And we receive a lot of referrals, actually, from the job centre. Because we're a charity, we do everything free of charge.
Yes.
And so a CV is often the first thing people get in touch with us, that come in to make an appointment, it may be two or three weeks ahead before they can meet an advisor and they can work on the background, the educational qualifications, work experience, and their hobbies and pastimes and all this, any other relevant information. And then from that point, to make suggestions, perhaps there's a certain website called Cascade, okay, and they have to answer questions in very quickly, and from that decide what sort of job they could get into if they're wanting a change of career, for example. When I took that first time, despite the fact that I've been a teacher for more than 40 years, the top job for me was grave digger, I think.
Grave digger.
So it's not a faultless, not for one moment.
So you like working outside, but you don't like gardening. Is that what that is?
Oh, no, I enjoy my garden. I wouldn't want to work on a farm.
Okay, yes, yes.
But there we go. No, that's just as an aside. But we receive so many commendations from people who've come to us, and recommendations to family members and people of their own background, neighbours, anybody and everybody who come to us. And I think possibly we're the major, other agencies doing similar work might quarrel with this, but we're the major and most experienced organisation which does this sort of thing. 20 years, as I say, we celebrated last year, and we've seen it grow so much from just one floor in a four-storey building, including the basement. And we now have three of those floors, and people in and out the whole time. But it's a great place to be. Yes. It's, in many ways, it's a happening place.
Yes, well, yes, it must be.
And we do get people into work because some of our advisors have close contact with businesses in and around the town, and confidence and trust has built in that, that people that we see, if they have certain qualifications which are needed by a hotel, for example, somebody in reception, there's a space there, then we can say, we believe this person could be of use to you, therefore we suggest you give them an interview.
Right.
So we're not a jobs agency as such, but nevertheless, we have lots of contacts out there.
Okay. So if you're not a jobs agency, you're somebody that, you're a charity that helps people and signposts them towards the skills that they need?
Signpost is the word, is the word. And we have connections with various other groups who provide the courses that we can't provide because we haven't got the skills or the personnel.
Yes.
And what might that be? For example, English and maths. For people to try and build up. LearnDirect has an office in the library, and people who are not in work, they don't have to pay for that. They can go along and take a course in order to get GCSE or any other qualifications, IT. And so it is very much networking, very much pointing people in the right direction. And it's always a joy when people come in or they phone us and say, got a job. In fact, one of our members of the volunteer staff, she is there specifically to call people after they've been to us for a month, and to say, how are things going in the job search?
Right.
And, of course, she jumps for joy when she hears that somebody is into work.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So the situation is not so serious, apparently, at the moment, as far as unemployment is concerned. But still there are people who want to be engaged in paid work. Rather than volunteering, that's something we emphasise as well, volunteering. And that's often a stepping stone. Again, I remember a story some little while ago now, a man who went to the hospital volunteering, and out of that, because he had, when he was there, he was present there, had his feet under the table, as it were, yes, he was offered paid work. And so finally that became a full-time job, full-time position.
So that's kind of like a graduate or somebody doing an internship.
Oh, yes, very much so. Very much so. Well, we believe in that too. And there are, I don't know if it's happened recently, but we've had organisations approaching us and saying that we can take somebody on, a school leaver or somebody who's taking a year out from university for work experience and so on. It's great to be able to do that. Whether that individual follows it through with full-time employment of that type, but it may just be a stepping stone to develop life skills and everything else that goes with it.
And the confidence, yes, sure. True, very true. And especially if somebody isn't from this country, mm-hmm, then that would really help them to do that, wouldn't it? So, okay, so what from your point of view, from the charitable point of view, you've got now an opportunity to tell people who are listening and people who will be listening in the future what they can do to help people matter. In terms of, well, you tell me. I mean, I'm talking about volunteering and things like that. But what is it that the charity is crying out for?
Funds. Funds, well, yes. I would imagine. That's probably the biggest thing. It's very much a day-to-day existence. And I'm so thankful that I'm not involved in fundraising directly or writing applications for funds. There's always been enough money to keep the thing going. And we don't charge our clients when they come in. Everything is free. If they want to make a donation to the charity, then that's very nice. Even if it's only a packet of biscuits, we're very grateful.
But can't go wrong with custard creams.
No, quite so. And so that's probably the main thing. Volunteers, yes, there are often places for volunteers, whether it's in reception, whether people who've been involved in advising younger folks, we don't generally speaking take clients under the age of 18, but that's for others to do.
Yes.
But for people who have had that experience in advising about work and so on, they've retired early, their circumstances have changed, then we're very welcome to come along to People Matter and to talk about any openings that they might have and how they can be useful again. Yes, what else? I suppose sometimes one of the problems we have that we need a bigger building.
Right.
So if there's anywhere in town, some kind, benevolent individual who's willing to give us, well, not give us, or allow us to rent at a reasonable price, a three-story, four-story building with plenty of room. We're often finding now, and I find that most of the time, then the clients come first for advice about work and the English language teaching comes after.
Sure.
And there's not always a room for me there.
Oh, right.
This morning, for example, a Wednesday, that's part of the reason for me being here, is that I wouldn't find a space. I'd have to sit in the waiting room or in the downstairs kitchen. And it's difficult. We're very tight for space. So I think probably those are the three things that I think of initially: funding, staffing, and accommodation.
Yes, interesting. Yeah. Of course, because that shows you're busy then, doesn't it, really, if you can't find the space.
Well, quite true. Yes. I also have another position as well as advisor and teaching. I'm in charge of waste management. So on Friday afternoons, that's my job before the weekend.
Okay.
Saturdays and Sundays the office is closed. On a Monday, and sometimes people come to us and they don't realize that we're not open. And doubtless that's part of the reason in keeping costs down. I'm often there teaching because then I have the run of the building.
That's handy.
Which is very much so, yeah. And nobody gets in my way when I'm trying to make my coffee, for example.
True.
Yeah, there we go. Yes. There we go. Yeah, so the way it's grown and developed, and other agencies, as I mentioned, doing the same sort of thing around the town, but they haven't got the experience that People Matter has. And so I think we have set the trend, set the ball rolling 20 years ago. And that could be that the lady who founded the organisation, that she might come in and speak to you at some stage. And yes, she spoke at our 20th anniversary celebration last year. For people who are new to the setup, then she was giving a little bit of a history of how it all started. And yeah, it's great. And other towns could well do with the same sort of thing.
Yeah, quite, absolutely. Well, yes, that would be good to know the history. You know, and I think that that's, again, something that we're doing more and more of here at Eastbourne.online is to make sure that local charities can voice, you know, have got a platform, really, to a certain extent, to voice what, you know, your requirements are or how you help. And definitely the history would be of most interest, I imagine, to our listeners. So, okay, so we're running towards the end of time.
Gracious, how long have we been talking?
Well, I know, 25 minutes.
You've been doing most of the talking, haven't you?
Yeah, my wife says that.
No, my wife is talking.
Yes.
And I came in by bus this morning. Of course, I have a bus pass.
Yes.
Most people know that. Although they're very gracious in saying I look too young to have a bus pass.
Yes, but you look too young to have a bus pass.
Thank you very much. I'll come again. Well, being on the bus and being of a certain age, particular times of the day, it's mainly older people. And I believe having a bus pass gives me the right, the privilege, to join in anybody's conversation on any topic. And so talking is my life.
Right.
Yeah. If ever I now were in solitary confinement somewhere, I'd have to talk to the wall, and that wouldn't last very long.
I hope there's a big echo.
Yes, quite. Yes. Some come back.
Mm. So, okay. So I get it now. So that when I receive my bus pass, I can look forward to actually spending days on the bus, literally whole days, having conversations with all and sundry.
Oh, they do.
I bet some people do that.
Well, very likely. And it's fascinating. It really is, talking about human nature and so on. And whatever time of day I'm travelling, it could be morning, afternoon, evening, and then it's a different clientele, different group of passengers each time. And some of them, my goodness me. And now I understand how Alan Bennett is able to write his talking heads. Yes. All he does, or has done in the past, is to go to a bus stop and listen to the conversation of the people waiting.
Mm-hmm.
But there we are. That's something else for another time, perhaps.
Yes, it is. Exactly. Yeah. Well, someone mentioned to me there's a website or something, which is quite funny, so I'll give them a plug. I just love the title. Things Overheard in the Aisles in Waitrose.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
it's great.
I didn't know kale was so expensive. It was one of them or something. You know, I mean, that could be any supermarket, to be fair.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, you can imagine there would be quite some good choice ones in Waitrose.
Oh, brilliant.
So,
and they often gave me ideas in the past when I was writing columns for the local newspaper, Eastbourne Herald, in the past. That lasted for about 14 years or so.
Oh, right.
But to overhear something or to read something on a notice, particularly something which wasn't quite English, and then to put a spin on it, and then I'd get 500 or 600 words very quickly. And I'd write on the bus and then edit it when I got home.
See, now, everybody, I did mention that Ray is one of the most busiest people, busiest people I've ever met, and that just proves it to you. You are non-stop. You are a bit of a dynamo, let's be honest.
Well, yes, okay. Come back to that at some point, I'm sure.
Exactly.
I'm sure, as with other things.
Well, yes, it'd be fantastic. Well, do you know what? I think it would be fantastic for you to do more contributions for Eastbourne.online. Mm. We're going to have a chat about that, I think.
I think so.
I think
very good.
You've got so much local knowledge.
Mm.
You know a lot about charities. You mentioned your theologian side.
Okay,
that would be interesting too. Actually,
Eastbourne is a town of churches. 60 odd churches in the town.
Pardon?
60 plus churches.
60 plus
churches. I wonder if that's more churches than pubs. I haven't done a count up, but perhaps sometime I will.
But I was going to mention, of course, because one of the things about Brighton is it used to have a pub for every day of the week.
Oh.
Right? That was years ago.
Yes.
So now it's probably got twice as many.
Oh, that's
true. So, okay. So here we are. Then we've got more churches than pubs. That's probably true, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Could quite be.
Okay, there's a project.
So there's a lot of scope for us.
Yes, absolutely. Well, brilliant. Okay, Ray, I'm sorry. We do have to cut it close here.
But I need some coffee.
Good
point to stop.
Yes. I should have offered you one beforehand. Sorry. Okay, so Ray Dadswell, thanks very much. Thanks for telling us about People Matter, the charity that helps people who are looking for... go on, you sign off on People Matter rather than
me. Yes, people who are out of work, short-term, long-term, whatever age, whatever background, they can come to us and get sympathetic advice and help, not just a one-off appointment, but as long as it takes.
Okay, and how would they get in touch with the charity?
431289. That's an Eastbourne number, People Matter, and based at number 17, Gildridge Road. Come along and see us. We have coffee there on the go. All day, every day.
That's better than here. So, okay, apologies for that.
Not at all.
Okay. And the phone number once more?
Eastbourne, 01323 431289.
Brilliant. Okay. So, listeners, if you hear that and you feel that that's something that you can, or People Matter are something that you can help with, or if you know somebody who could do with this, their signposting guidance, looking to work, looking to start work, then, feel free to get in touch. By the sounds of everything, Ray, you guys sound like a great organization.
Well, yes. Well, I'm there every day, that's why.
Yeah, and there you are. Yeah. And if you want to meet Ray, that's the place to go to. But hopefully we'll be hearing more from you on eSpawn.online.
Sure.
And it'll be great to actually, we'll probably come over to your to People Matter at some stage and do a live stream interview in the actual premises.
Very welcome, I'm sure.
Brilliant. Mm. On that point, thank you very much, Ray Dadswell.
Pleasure.